Before Dick reads our traditional Pentecost lesson, we'd offer these few words to set the context. In teaching the confirmation class over the years, there are some rather straightforward topics that Kate and I do our best to cover during the course of the year. Straightforward topics like Jesus and the Bible, the church, the sacraments, and even the topic of God is, relatively speaking, fairly straightforward. But then there is this thing we call the Holy Spirit, which when I was growing up had the rather spooky alias, the Holy Ghost. Now, singing praise to the Holy Ghost didn't make a little kid, or an adult for that matter, wonder, not sure what would. But throughout the Old and New Testaments, the promise is that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the risen Christ, the Holy Spirit, will be with the gathered community and actually calling the community into being. In the Old Testament, that community is known as the people of Israel, and in the New Testament, it is called the church. The Spirit will, of course, be with each of us, hopefully individually, but it will most prominently be with us as a community, as the body of Christ, as the church. And that Spirit truly creates and calls the community into being. Just on that first Pentecost day, the Holy Spirit created and called the Christian church into being. And the character of that church, the character of that community, is the Spirit manifesting itself in the care and the compassion of the members of that community. And so, as I think a little further, I guess the Holy Spirit is, after all, fairly straightforward. The Holy Spirit, when it moves powerfully and mysteriously through and among us, it will give birth to a community of justice and peace, happiness and joy, generosity and love.
This morning's reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 and 42 through 47. If you'd like to follow along, you can find it on page 116 of your pew Bible in the New Testament section. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. May God bless our understanding of this reading.
Thank you, God.
As millions across the world watched yesterday's events in England, I guess it can be said quite safely at this point that Prince Harry is now known for his marriage to American actress and activist Meghan Markle. But before yesterday's wonderful extravaganza, Prince Harry was perhaps best known as the founder of the Invictus Games, the international Paralympic-style sporting events created in 2014 so that wounded, injured, or sick military service personnel could come together in sporting competition, including wheelchair basketball, sitting volleyball, track and field, rowing, cycling, swimming, and so much more. This year's games will be held in October in Sydney, Australia, and already the competing athletes are talking about dedicating the games to the new Duke and Duchess of Sussex. You see, when these athletes come together and the spirit moves, something extraordinary happens. You may recall that 2 years ago, the games were held in Orlando, Florida. And in his remarks at the opening of the games, Prince Harry talked about the physical injuries of wartime, but he also raised awareness of the invisible injuries, such as post-traumatic stress and depression. Well, as one might guess, competing with hundreds of injured servicemen and women and veterans from more than 15 countries is a powerful experience. And one American athlete reflected on the movement of the spirit at that extraordinary athletic competition. It was just an amazing atmosphere, he said. The crowds were excited and enthusiastic because they were cheering everybody. And then with tears running down his cheeks, it was one big family. Everybody was in it together. When you cross the finish line, everyone celebrates everyone else's success. There was very much of a family feel, and everybody's a bit more connected to one another. Each time the Invictus Games brings together these wounded warriors, the world shrinks a little bit, and a family, an amazing big family, is born.
And that's what we tried to do this year with our confirmation process and class. The spirit moved and a community was born. Throughout the year, we met for class sessions on a regular basis. Our activities varied from session to session, graffiti walls, all-time favorite scavenger hunts across the church, discussions in big groups and small, planning worship for you all just a few weeks ago. And despite the various activities, there were some constants. Food, we always shared food together, love, and the spirit. Sometimes during our classes, we were silly and goofy, sometimes serious, but always thankful. David and I appreciate how so many of the young people at the end of class would thank us for teaching them and being with them. It is our privilege and our honor. Besides the class sessions, the confirmands came to worship services throughout the year and planned and led a worship service. The spirit moved when their words and their prayers were spoken. And then the youth had the opportunity to do some service work, both individual projects, visiting members of our congregation at Christmas time, and serving together at MAC, Manchester Area Conference of Churches. For the last 9 months, the Spirit has moved and brought a community together in a meaningful way. David and I know that many churches, including our own, strive to be places where all feel welcome to ask questions, to share their stories, and to journey together.
Recently, a colleague of ours shared a story about a couple who belongs to his church and how they were sort of confronted in the parking lot across from the church. They were walking to worship one Sunday morning when a woman mumbled something to them. One of the church members turned and asked the woman to repeat what she had said. "You shouldn't go there," the woman said. "Their pastor's gay. The whole place is going to hell." There was more, but you get the gist. The church members tried to reason with the woman. They told her that they too were gay, and that this church had become for them what they had searched for years to find, a home where they felt welcome, safe, and whole.
And so when they walked into the sanctuary, they were in that hard place, you know, somewhere between sadness and anger. And during the announcements in worship time, one of them got up and stood behind the pulpit, the big elevated pulpit, the one where the preacher preached from, and spoke her truth. She told the truth about who she is and what it's like to worry and to fear and to dread and to hope. And with a quivering voice, she thanked her church for trying its damnedest to walk the walk and not just talk the talk. She spoke about how her church was a safe place, a place where she could be herself when she needed it most. When she finished, she was swarmed by people. The congregation gave her hugs and cheers, and Jimmy, the music director, started playing the piano, the song that they sing every time a new member is welcomed into their fellowship, "Draw the Circle Wide." The entire congregation sang with their whole hearts the vision of God's kingdom, a place where all know that they are loved by God.
But here's the thing. The pastor wasn't there on that Sunday. They did it all on their own. You see, for a while now, our colleague had been wondering if the church's commitment to welcoming the LGBTQ community was his and theirs together. He had known for a long time that the folk were cool with rainbow doors and rainbow-colored banners, but the pastor wasn't exactly sure where they would be when the cards were laid down. But as the pastor listened to the people recount what had happened on that Sunday morning, he realized he had nothing to worry about. It's never been just him. It's always been the church community together.
And around that time that the pastor's church was dealing with this hard reality of broken people in parking lots, the woman who accosted them kept saying, "It's my job to tell you." As a matter of fact, it's not. The pastor was one state away, baptizing his dear friend's baby. At the end of the baptism, right about the announcement time at his church, his friend stood up and presented him with a stole. On it, the rainbow doors, called God's doors.
And this colleague reflects that he didn't know it then, but God was working. The Spirit was working. He shared these words: "I don't always know how God works, where or when God will show up, but here's the truth: God does." God was showing up in two churches a couple states away. And sometimes God shows up just to remind us that love wins. It always wins.
So friends, when we open doors and build bridges, the Spirit moves, kindness and love are shared, and a community is born.
And when we welcome all of God's children, the Spirit moves, kindness and love are shared, and a community is born.
And so as we go from this place filled with the Holy Spirit, let us pay attention to that Spirit moving, let us notice that Spirit moving, and let us always share kindness and love so that time and time again, beloved communities will be born. And let the people say, Amen. Amen.